So we know how to solve all our problems, right? You go to God. God can solve every problem that there is. And that's what the power of prayer does. We call upon our God and we ask our God to help us, and God does. So whenever you have a need, you call on God, don't you? Yes? Yes. So you want more peace of mind, anybody? Yes? Okay, beautiful. So today you're going to get it. How about that? Came to the right place this morning. Aren't you glad you showed up here, right? And glad you're watching, glad you're listening, right? Today's the day you get more peace of mind. You want to know how? I'll tell you in a little bit. Okay, beautiful. So keep you on the edge of your seat so you stick around and hear the whole message. Go to John chapter 5 this morning. John chapter 5. Afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city, near the sheep gate, was the pool of Bethesda, with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew how long he had been ill, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" Would you like to get well? Would you like to get well? Would you like to have peace of mind? Beautiful. Here's the man's response. "I can't, sir." What? Well, maybe he can't, right? Or can he? How could he? "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred up. While I'm trying to get there, someone else gets in ahead of me." What's this man got? The sickness of an opinion. He's got an opinion about what he can or cannot do. He's got an excuse, which I call an opinion, of what he thinks he's supposed to do. How long has he been lying by that porch? How long has he been sick? 38 years. What do you think he's telling himself all the time? "I can't. I won't get well. It's impossible for me to do so. And I'm a victim of all these other people. I have no power to get better." You see what opinions can do for you when you tell yourself a negative story? Everybody's got an opinion, don't they? Oh, yeah. There's plenty of them out there to go around, are there not? Are there not? And we could stand here all day and I can ask you, Coke or Pepsi? I get an opinion. Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts? I get an opinion. I don't want to mention any football teams, but you know the best that there is, my opinion. Incorrect. I'm getting this in the back row. You see what the problem with opinions are? Am I right all the time? No, it's only my opinion. And here's what the definition of an opinion is: a view or judgment formed about something or someone not necessarily based in fact or knowledge. An opinion is just that. It's not based on fact or knowledge. In fact, most of the time you might see or hear things and you might watch somebody do something and you form an opinion of it, right? Right? Are you always right about that opinion? No. But we think we're right, don't we? That's called judgment, is it not? We make all these judgments not based on fact, on a small amount of information right in front of us. Am I right? You might hear something about somebody, right? You hear this little story that they tell you. "Did you know what happened to so-and-so? Blah, 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 blah." And you go, you have all the information. What do you have? You have second hand, third hand, fourth hand, who knows what hand, right? And when we make false opinions, we then run into a problem of what keeps us stuck and what keeps us from having peace of mind. Am I right? Of course. Of course. That's not an opinion. That's a fact. That's a fact. Because what you think and believe about yourself or others is merely your opinion. And is it based on fact? Depends, right? You know, you might have done something when you were 13 years old and you look back on it now and you say, how awful was that, right? Or was it? You were 13 years old. That's a fact, right? And 13-year-old people cannot do or have the same wisdom as somebody who's 60-something years old, correct? I would hope not. I hope we've grown in maturity, right? So it's a view that's based not necessarily on fact. Here's the second thing an opinion is. It's an estimation of the quality or worth of something or someone. Quality of worth of someone or someone else. What's your worth to God? A lot. Like super duper a lot. Right? I mean, we can't even measure how valuable God sees us to be, right? Am I right? Right? So you're valuable to God, are you not? Why do you think Jesus came upon and walked along this colonnade and saw those sick people needing help? And what did he want to do with the man that was lying there for 38 years? What did Jesus have in mind? He wanted to heal him. Now, did Jesus care how long he had been there? Did he care what he looked like, sounded like? Where he came from, what his ethnicity was, what his color was, what his size was, what his sexuality was, what his gender was. Did Jesus care about any of those other opinions that very often other people might have? He didn't care, did he? What did he want to do for this man? He asked him the question, do you want to get well? That's all he cared about. He saw sickness. He saw illness. He saw somebody paralyzed in doubt and fear and negativity and sitting there 38 years amounting to really just someone who's a victim of what other people were going to do or not do. He was made himself a victim, though, unfortunately, because his own opinion about himself was that he was a sick man and could never get better. That's what he believed to be true, right? What value did this man place upon his own life? Not much. Not much. Listen, you're not for sale and you're not on discount. This is not Walmart in life. We have got to stop putting yourself down and seeing yourself as the fact that you can't do anything. You're helpless and hopeless. Yes, by yourself, I get that. But when Jesus walks along and says to you, do you want to get well? Do you want a better life? Do you want to get away from the place where you're stuck and go into somewhere magnificent? What do you think he's asking you to do? Move to a better place, right? What's your opinion about that? Well, it's going to matter, isn't it? What you think, right? See, gold is gold, is it not? And nothing that you do to gold can really change it. In fact, if you burn it, it gets even more pure, which makes it even more valuable. Isn't that interesting to know? So just because somebody might have an opinion about you, who you are gold, does that change who you really are? Does it make you less valuable in other people's minds? Possibly. Do you care what they think? No. Oh, yeah, baby, I got one in here. Yes. So as the story goes on, that's not what I'm going to preach about here, although I'm preaching about it. You know, what ends up happening is Jesus ignores the man's opinion of what the problem is. He doesn't let him stay in his excuses or his opinion or the fact that he thinks he can't. He's not a God of can't. He's a God of can. And so Jesus does the thing that all of you need to often do, is ignore your own excuses. Ignore your own opinions about yourself. Ignore the opinions of others that they have about you. Stop letting people's thoughts about you affect how you feel about you, especially as it is with your relationship with God. God loved you so much, he gave his life for you. John 3:16. If you don't need any other scripture, learn that scripture. He loved you so much that he gave his son for you. That's no small potatoes. That's big. So we need to live up to that, don't we? We need to live up to the place where we can be whole and be healthy and see ourselves beyond being victims and letting other people try to dictate to us what we can have or what we can't have. Because what can you have? everything and anything that you want to have within your power to get it and God's power to give it to you. The sky's the limit, is it not? So if you need healing, if you need wholeness, if you need peace of heart and mind, which is part of what this is about, because I think peace of mind can really make a difference in how you go about your life, correct? Because when you don't have peace of mind, when you're worried about what other people think or what you even think about yourself, it clouds your thinking, does it not? Do you not get a darker perspective on life when you pay attention to what other people think about you or what sometimes when you start telling yourself how bad or awful you are because sometimes we do awful things? That doesn't make us a bad person. It means we're a person who does bad things. You see the difference. You still are worth loving and caring and changing, right? All right. So if you want to stop being upset and stop being a person like this man that lies on the mat there and doesn't think he can amount to anything or be anything or do anything or be healed, Jesus is going to ignore those excuses and keep calling you to say, do you want to get well? Do you want a better life? Do you want peace of mind? Do you really? Beautiful. So you got to stop entertaining. Some of us entertain our thoughts, kind of like, you know, people that come into our house, right? You entertain them, right? And sometimes we sit down with our negative thoughts and we entertain them, don't we? We let them sit at our table and listen to all their wild stories that they want to tell us about us, right? And what do you do while you're sitting there? You're agreeing and listening, aren't you? Yeah, oh, yeah, I did that. Oh, wow, yeah, you're right. Oh, yeah, my God. You have to stop entertaining the opinions about something or even an event that happens to you. How many times, well, maybe it happened this morning even, they come to church and the internet's not working. And suddenly we sometimes think, uh-oh, what did I do wrong? Something's wrong. Why is this happening to me? What's going on here? What am I going to do? Why did, you know, anybody here have ever make a mistake? Okay, nobody here. But neither, oh, got one. So, and how many times do things just happen in life and we want to put meaning on it or we make an opinion about it? Very often if something bad happens, we usually say, God is trying to do something to me. God must be punishing me for what I did 1,400 million years ago. Do you see that's an opinion that's not based on fact, is it? What's the fact? Some bad event happened. Okay, now what are you going to do about it? You're going to solve the problem, correct? You're going to go to God and seek help, are you not? When you start to form an opinion about you and God, that's where you run into trouble. Because what it does is it keeps you stuck. If you want, if like this man who said, I can't because other people get in my way, do you think people have your happiness in their pockets? Anybody got my happiness? Who's got it? I lost it. Where'd it go? My peace of mind? Who has it? Do you think we find those in other people, that whether or not they can give it to us? Where do you get those things from? From God and with yourself, right? You have the power to ask God for God's blessings and favor upon you. You have the right to ask because Jesus even said it. Ask anything in my name and I'll do it. So Jesus tells a man to stand up and walk. And guess what happens to the man? He got up and walked. Why? Because Jesus challenged him to stop just laying around on the bed of excuses and the bed of other people's opinions and the bed of whether or not other people are going to let you get ahead of them. When this is not a competition with others. I hate to have to tell you that. You have the power and control over your own life by your own choices that you make if you stop entertaining the opinions that you even hold about yourself or about others. See, things that happen to us don't have to determine our attitude about it, does it? Do they? Do the things that happen determine how we feel about them? Huh? Not quite sure, are you? It's your opinion about what happens to you, what you then put it into what it means meaning. Means meaning. How about that for a double one? I guess what I'm saying is this. We form opinions about every event that's happening in our life, do we not? We're opinionated people, are we not? Yes, we are. If you want our opinions, we'll gladly give them to you too. Now, the question is, do you want to believe those opinions? Depends, right? What if I tell you you're wonderful? I got a couple of likes, and I got a couple in the back going, I'm not wonderful. You can't say that about me. Well, yes, I can. Because it's not just an opinion, is it? You're beautifully and wonderfully made, according to what the scriptures say. Negative thinking, the way we think about ourselves and about others, that opinion that we often carry so often, because the world is about 80% negative. Am I right? In fact, we think about 500,000 thoughts a day, and 80 to 90% of them are negative. No, really? But you want peace of mind, right? You want peace of mind? Stop listening to those negative thoughts. Stop entertaining them. Stop inviting them in and stop believing them. Are all the opinions that you hear, see, and read about, are they all true and are based on fact? Are any of them? Are the things that we see in Scripture, are they true? Are they based on fact? Okay, we might want to believe what it says in here instead. Do you know what's in here? I'm going to give you a great scripture. It's in John 5, verse 41. You can keep it for later. Because here's what happens. Jesus heals this man, and guess who gets upset? The Pharisees. They give an opinion to Jesus. What's the big idea? Healing on the Sabbath. What are you doing thinking you're God? What are you trying to do making people better? What's your problem, right? They had an opinion about Jesus, didn't they? Was it a good opinion or a bad opinion? Of course. Negative, right? So in verse 41, here's what I love. It's one of my favorite scriptures that I very often, when someone tells me something that they maybe don't approve of me about, whatever it might be, here's my answer. To the Pharisees especially. To the judges that are out there that haven't walked in my shoes or your shoes. Or anybody else's shoes. You have no right to judge anybody unless you walk their path. You don't know where they've been. You don't know what they've gone through. You don't know how hard or how far they've come, do you, ultimately? You only know what's in front of you, a little small piece of it, right? Do you have all the information about their entire life by chance? Do we have all your information about all your life by chance? Some things, some stuff are still hidden, right? But we do know this. You have an opinion about you too, don't you? Form based on what you've been through. But here's my point about that. None of us have the right to judge anybody else, do we? Who's the judge? Because God sees and knows it all, right? So when Jesus gets accosted by the Pharisees, here's what he says to them. One of my favorite all-time scriptures. Your approval or disapproval means nothing to me. Your approval or disapproval means nothing to me because I know you don't have God's love within you. Do you see how he answers the Pharisees? Are you walking around seeking other people's approval sometimes? Is every person going to approve of you? Is every person going to disapprove of you? Don't know. Does it matter? Because it means nothing, nothing to you. When you stop worrying about what other people think of you or what other opinions might be of you, you will have so much peace of heart and mind because you won't be trying to seek their approval when you can't even get it sometimes. The beauty about what Jesus did throughout his ministry was he went around trying to find people who had a need for God, and he offered them whatever it is they needed, right? And they had the right to ask for it and to accept it or reject it. And the Pharisees, in the meantime, tried to upend that, did they not? And so Jesus had a 3-year ministry, did he not? And did he ever stop ministering to people in those 3 years? Did he ever once say, I'm going to give up, nobody likes me, nobody wants me, and what they think of me, I really shouldn't be doing this after all. Did he do that? Why? Because their approval or disapproval meant nothing to him. When you're seeking God and to do God's will for your life, that's where you find peace of mind and heart the most. As long as you know, if God's called you to do something, whatever it might be, as long as it's within God's will to do it, and you can know that because you're the Holy Spirit inside of you will guide you and direct you. As long as you know you're doing the right thing for the benefit of yourself or others, for their ultimate good, spiritually speaking especially, you do not need anybody's permission or approval, do you? There was actually a study, you know, a lot of medicines are really being questioned and things of this nature, and makes good sense. But there was actually a study really about how we think and how our self-talk affects us. Do you actually realize that there's some things that you say to yourself have a beneficial effect physiologically or a negative effect physiologically? Because like this man that was lying by the mat, he said, I can't. So he didn't, did he? When we say I can't do something, that's the negative, is it not? But they actually did a study through Mayo Clinic. They studied various people who had all kinds of illnesses. And in the studies, they found that positive thinking and positive self-talk created benefits physiologically. Do you believe that? And it's not based on just opinion. It was actually based on studies that they did with some of their patients. And here's what they found. The effects of positive thinking and optimism just on their health increased their lifespan. Do you want to live longer? Think more positive about yourself and others. Lowered the rate of depression. You want to feel better about life and you want to feel better physiologically? Tell yourself positive things. Talk to yourself sweetly, gently, and with kindness. It lowered their level of distress physiologically. It actually gave them better resistance to the common cold. There's the vitamin in positivity. It's kind of like music. Never be sharp, never be flat, always be natural. Anyway. It gave them better physiological and psychological well-being. Better cardiovascular health. It helped the heart. And better coping skills through hardships. Because sometimes when we're looking at life half empty, where are the solutions? In the half that's missing, right? So you think. So I guess what I'm saying is this. When you can identify your own negative thinking by the opinions that you hold, when you say something negative to yourself, you have to do what? Listen. You have to ignore yourself. Exactly. Replace it with the exact opposite that's a positive. When you say I can't, say I can. When I say I won't, say I will. When you say don't, you say do, right? When you say I'm stupid, say I'm smart. How easy is this? We all have vocabulary, do we not? The vocabulary that you use will determine your own peace of mind. Now, I'd like to also challenge all of you to only have a positive opinion about anything and everything. Was this a great sermon? Oh, yes, it was! Are we the best church on the planet? Yes, we are! Are you afraid of anybody or anything? No! Because God is for us. Who can be against us? And if even people try to tell us that we can't have a relationship with God and be happy and be whole and be healthy, if the other people lying on the porch want to tell us that they want to get better before us or that we don't deserve to get better, you're going to say, oh, yes, I can. Because I want to be well. I want to be happy. I want to be healthy. I want to be everything that God's created me to be. You're beautifully and wonderfully made. Yes, I am. So do you want peace of mind? Only have positive opinions about yourself or others. And if you're reading something or seeing something that causes you to go towards a negative, you got to stop reading or looking at that or believing any of that, right? If people tell you that you can't get up off the mat and walk, you're going to say, oh, yes, I can. And if somebody says, well, you're not supposed to be all happy, you know, the world's a mess right now. And you know, what do you think, who do you think you are? You're going to say, I am a child of God. And he's the one who asked me to get up and walk. And your approval or disapproval means nothing to me. Means nothing to me. John 5:41. Let's live by that. Too very often, so many of the things that I get from Facebook through Messenger or even through some of the emails, the texts that I get, are the things that people are struggling with who they are and thinking they're less than and not lovable. Thinking because of the mistakes that they've made, and some have made horrific mistakes. I've heard more stories that could put hair on anyone's, take hair off anyone's, and just cause gray hair to come upon your own head. But listen, does that mean that's all they are? Does that mean that's as far as they can go? Never. Their own opinion of them is the determining factor, however. So what you think of you really matters. And what other people think of you is none of your business. Who do you think you are? I'm a child of God. I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm a chosen one of God. Believe that? It's a fact, is it not? Let's believe that today.